Bob and I spent the better part of two full days at Siteman in West County, where he was undergoing scans, tests, and treatments. Before I go on with the story, I'll tell you the good news. All of the scans were clear. So, I know. Thank you. Thank you all for your love and your prayers. We feel them all the time. It was really an amazing experience. But anyway, I was sitting in the waiting room while he was having one of the many tests and just praying and holding spiritual space and doing a little work on my laptop, you know me. But at any rate, all of a sudden, this beautiful, soft music completely filled the room. It was just amazing. And I looked up to see a gentleman sitting at a keyboard in the corner. Now, that keyboard has been there for 2 years. I've seen it many times. I've never seen anybody play it, and he was playing it so beautifully. I thought surely he was an employee or maybe a volunteer, you know, come to lift people's spirits through music, but he only played a couple of songs. It was really fast, and then he got up and walked past me, and on his way by, I said, "Excuse me, sir, thank you. Thank you for that beautiful music. It was amazing," and he looked at me, and he said, "Well, I'm glad it helped you. I'm glad you appreciated it." He said, "You know, I never pass a keyboard or a piano that I don't stop and play it." He said, "Sometimes it's appreciated and sometimes it gets me in trouble." So I guess I had a puzzled look on my face because he said to me, "Well, my story is this." He said, "It was my life's dream to write and play music. But many years ago," he said, "I did not have the courage to follow that dream. I thought I had to get a real job. And so now I make music wherever and whenever I can." So I will never forget him. I'm holding him in prayer that he finds other avenues to use his talent. And so today we continue on our series, actually we're very near the end of it, of the book The Art of Abundance, written by Dr. Dennis Merritt Jones. That's Dr. Jones on the left, by the way. But I tell you what, that dog on the right's pretty cute, right? I love that dog. So Dennis Jones, the whole thesis of his book is that we essentially all want the same things. We all want freedom, inner peace, and a life filled with purpose and meaning. And in order to help us make that happen, Dr. Jones lays out 10 rules for prosperity and abundance. Today, we're actually going to look at rule number 9. And rule number 9 is be courageous. Be courageous. He begins the chapter with a quote by DeWitt Jones. And the quote is, if we want truly extraordinary vision, then we have to continually expand our horizons and take risks. If we don't push our edge, we'll never expand our view. It's not trespassing, he says, to go beyond your own boundaries. It's not trespassing to go beyond your own boundaries. Dr. Jones says the principle of abundance waits those who are willing to come to the edge of their own perceived boundaries, because after all, that's where all of our boundaries are, right, in our own minds and consciousness, who are willing to come to the edge of our own perceived boundaries and courageously venture beyond them. Those who do so, Jones says, are visionaries, explorers, and risk takers who realize that conquering new horizons requires considerable courage. They are willing to move away from safety and comfort toward the unexplored. Jones says that creating a life worth living doesn't happen by accident or in the comfort zone of a semi-wake state of consciousness. Remember a little while ago when we did the book study, you can't sleep through your own awakening. That quote reminds me of that. So metaphorically speaking, Jones says, there are three categories of people in the world. First of all, there are the path makers, the people who make all their own way. He says those are the people who carve their own paths and shape their own destiny. The second category are the path takers. These are the people who sit on the sidelines first watching and then following the leaders. And the third category are those people who are not even aware that a path exists. No path. okay? They are the ones who wake up long enough to say, what's happening? And then go back to sleep. So we're going to take a minute to unpack these a little more closely. First of all, the path makers are the group that are the fewest people, and that's because of the inherent risk involved in taking the lead. Jones says, having an abundance of anything that enriches your life, be it relationships, career opportunities, personal time, a healthy lifestyle, fill in the blank. Anything that enriches your life requires some degree of uncertainty and possibility of loss. So now the path takers, as you might guess, are really the vast majority. While people in this group are interested in exploring new horizons, leading to a more enriched life, they are more comfortable with having somebody else go first. Mistakenly, they believe that there's safety in numbers, that traveling together on a well-trodden path minimizes the risk of loss. And Jones says, this may seem right, but nothing can be further from the real truth. Now, that third group, that's an interesting group. Those are the people who have fallen so deeply under the spell of not enough, we talked about that 1 week, that they have no vision and they let others do their thinking for them. They passively agree with whatever beliefs they are being fed by those around them, by the media, and I'm going to add one, by religion sometimes, by religious doctrine. It's much easier for them, for this group, to stay securely mired in the rut of the known, where it might be less than rewarding, but predictable and presumably safe. So Dr. Jones says there always have been and always will be path makers, path takers, and those who never venture out on the path. The question is, and this is for all of us, the question is, which one are you? And Jones says it's really a courageous question even to address. Can you see the role that your individual consciousness plays in this? And can you see the role of the collective societal consciousness that so permeates our society? Jones says that collective consciousness tends to overlap between categories 2 and 3, causing those in category 1 to stand out and stand alone. Path makers have the courage to break free from that gravitational pull of collective consciousness. They are willing to take the risk in going where they have never been before. The 9th rule, according to Jones, be courageous, is a call to action that will put you on the path of your own making. But you have to be willing to lead, follow, or get out of the way. Henry David Thoreau wrote, most men live lives of quiet desperation and go to their graves with their songs still in them. Well, isn't that a cheerful thought, and aren't you glad you came today? However, there's good news. Being courageous opens the door to change, growth, evolution, and the principle of abundance. Now, this doesn't mean being free of fear. We've talked a lot about fear. This doesn't mean being free of fear. It simply means having the heart, the passion, to risk moving forward right in the midst of fear. And Jones actually says risk-taking itself is not the problem, because we take a myriad of risks every single day without a second thought. I mean, just think about it. We all got out of bed this morning, right? Left the safety of our homes and got ourselves here. Some of us even drove on Highway 270 or 250 or 255, and that can be a risky proposition, right? It can be. But we take risks like this unconsciously again and again because we have proven to ourselves that our actions are worth the risk. The culprit that keeps us from moving to a higher ground where a life of purpose, meaning, and abundance resides is fear over some potential loss. And Jones helps us discern what some of those specific fears might be. So I invite you to really think about these and do an honest assessment of the degree to which you and I, we all might succumb to thee. So there are three fears. The first fear is the fear of making a mistake. Okay? I have a question. Raise your hand if you have never in your life made a mistake. Let me say it the other way. Raise your hand if you've ever made a mistake. Let's look at it that way. Okay, I don't see any hands in the room not raised, all right? So we tend to think of, we give mistakes a bad rap, don't we? But Joan says that is really short-sighted. In his view, the key is to learn from our mistakes and see them as gift-wrapped opportunities for educated do-overs. I love that, educated do-overs. He says, with perfect perspective, we can learn from our mistakes, maybe even if all we learn is never to repeat them. That's a lesson in and of itself. He says our mistakes can be our finest teachers, our master teachers, and inspiration for growth. So I'd like to ask you to guess what these products have in common. And here they are. We're going to do them quickly. Penicillin, the Slinky, Wheaties, Post-its, the color mauve, doesn't look much like mauve on the screen, but it's mauve, plastic, saccharin, cornflakes, and pacemaker. What do they all have in common? Yes. Bacteria, that's true too. That's all I want to think it up, but that's true. Everyone, every inventor of these products set out to do something different and really called at first what they came up with a mistake. And this is a great article. You can read about it in an article called 9 Brilliant Inventions Made by Mistake by Donnelly. And you can find that article on Inc.com. So the point is that sometimes our mistakes do lead to amazing growth or even amazing adventures or inventions. Okay, so the second fear is fear of rejection. Now, I'm guessing few of us wake up in the morning and say to ourselves, oh, goody, today I'm going to go out there and get myself rejected. I don't think so. And yet, rejection can be the fear that holds us back, that keeps us from moving forward. Jones asks, how many wonderful relationships never came about because of the fear of rejection? How many songs have been left unwritten? How many potential paintings have never been created? And the thing is, the underlying fear of this fear of rejection is something we've talked about in previous chapters. It is that fear, I'm not good enough, that underlies all of these situations. So we can transcend that fear by courageously living from our true nature, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that we are one with all the powers of the Christ. This means we don't ever look to one another for our validation. We don't have to. Michael Beckwith, New Thought Minister Michael Beckwith, says, we don't need to look to the outside world to convince us we're worthy. If we gain the praise of the entire world but do not have the validation that comes from realizing our power and goodness, we have lost our own blessing. I think in a way we have given away our own blessing, really. It's interesting, when people hurt our feelings or criticize us or fail to affirm us, honestly, we cannot take it personally. It's not about us, it's about who? It's about them, it's about their own stuff and their own needs. So our affirmation today is, I am more than enough. Would you say that with me, please? I am more than enough. Again, I am more than enough. And one more time, I am more than enough. That's a consciousness in which we will move forward and have courage. So the third fear, actually, that he talks about, is one we've already addressed in a way. That I think the fear of failure is really the fear of making mistakes on steroids, right? But there's an accompanying fear, and that is, interestingly, this is more subtle and more complex. This is the fear of success. the belief that we do not deserve success, Joan says, can be a landmine buried deeply in our subconscious. If one's self-worth is low, it creates an invisible hole in the soul through which any possibility of manifesting a life worth living escapes. Transcending the fears of failure and or success requires the courage for us to examine our own self-worth and remember who we are. We are individualized expressions of God on this earth to be all that we can imagine God to be. My favorite Charles Fillmore quote, every single one of us right here, right now, is on purpose, a unique expression of love and life, the living embodiment of pure potential. So on the other side of these fears lies freedom. Anytime we step into that role of path maker, we are telling the universe we have faith in something greater than ourselves, and the universe responds on our behalf. Joan says the key is to consciously accept where you are today. We talked about blessings a couple weeks ago. Bless whatever your life looks like, both the good and what looks like the less than good, and then make a commitment to courageously move forward toward the next peak, one step at a time, remembering that the principle of abundance always follows the arc of expansion. Anais Nin said, life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. I love that quote. So Jones lists in the text a few people who, he says, through courage, conscious intention, and willingness to take risk, have become pathmakers. And I didn't list them all on the screen, but I listed several of them, and I'm going to read them aloud for the people who might be listening online. Here are the people he thinks are pathmakers. They are Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey, Rosa Parks, Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein, Leonardo da Vinci, John Lennon, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, Susan B. Anthony, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Harvey Milk, John Glenn, Neil Armstrong, Moses, Jesus, the Buddha, Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, and Ellen DeGeneres. Now, at our first look at this list, we might comment on how amazingly diverse it is, right? And that's the point. If you were here last week for Reverend Lee's wonderful lesson on authenticity, how many of you had some of these names or names of people like them on your card? Would you be willing to share that with us? I've done that activity many times, and I've often put some of these names on my card. Notice, though, that they're not all prosperous, are they? Some are, but they're not all. They're not all perfect. They are all pathmakers, however, with one common factor among them, and that is courage. Joan says, if you go back and review the list, you'll see that these people, in their own way, took immeasurable risks to accomplish a mission. It was heart, meaning passion and perseverance, that enable them to succeed. Some of them demonstrated financial abundance, but others enriched their lives and the lives of the world through love, laughter, reverence, kindness, compassion, generosity, respect, and freedom. And we would all agree that there are millions of people whose names belong on this list. Joan says the question worth pondering is, could you ever see your name on this list? You can be one of these people. Some of you are one of these people. Your name goes here. Joan says, by now you know the unwritten abundance law that every master teacher throughout the ages has taught. And it is, whatever you think you can or whether you think you can't, you are right. And the universe will help you prove it. So pathmakers are courageous risk takers who are always seeking growth and new horizons. Why? Because they are in touch with their heart center. Now, by heart center, we don't mean emotion. We mean that spiritual center where we absolutely feel the connection with perfect spiritual energy. Heart wisdom looks beyond appearances. In the heart, greater truths are always revealed. In the heart, we know wholeness, godness, goodness, and oneness. In fact, the word courage actually comes from the Latin cor, which means heart. Isn't that amazing? So that's where the word came from. So here's the question for us today. In addition to the power of love, which we've already talked about, which of the spiritual powers need to be activated in order to be courageous? Okay, I want you to pick one or two and shout them out. Say it again. Action, absolutely. We've got to move, don't we? We've got to move. What else? Can you read the powers? Need me to read them to you? Life, faith, understanding, power, imagination, strength, wisdom, will, release, order, zeal. What else do you need in order to be courageous?
Will
is very important. It's very important. Say it again. Zeal. Yes, zeal. Yes.
Confidence.
The confidence is a result of all of these. That's an important one, confidence. So the point is, I think we probably could make an argument for every one of them if we were pressed to do so, that all of our powers help us to be courageous. And in order for us to define what is appropriate for our lives, we must also rely on wisdom and discernment, right? Those are two other powers that come into play. If we go back over our list of pathmakers, we might notice that they were guided to know when, where, and how to navigate their way to their destination and destiny. They learn to listen to guidance from within and follow its lead. The question that Jones asks is, from what source will the wisdom that guides you come? If it comes from a worldly source, it might be rooted in fear. On the other hand, if you go within, when you go within and listen to your heart, it will never put you or anyone else in harm's way. It will be your right path. The spiritual wisdom that really guides authentic courage can only serve you in ways that enrich your life and the lives of others. So using our spiritual powers, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what's to be lost and what's to be gained by moving forward, and is it worth the risk? Jones quotes Trina Paulus, who wrote, I love this quote, "How does one become a butterfly? You must want to fly so much that you are willing to give up being a caterpillar." And so as I said when I made an announcement about Anne, and she's a great example of this, every new beginning is an ending. Every new ending is a beginning. Letting go is a prerequisite for receiving in any form. Jones writes, "The lesser must give way to the greater." When it comes to your relationships, your career, and the well-being of your spirit, mind, and body, you must be willing to let go in order to expand your horizons and experience greater abundance. If you monitor your joy meter, your happiness barometer, your heart, you'll know instantly what must be released in order for you to move forward, and you will find the courage to release it. Being courageous is, somebody said over here, is an action step. It's principle number 5. It's putting what we know into action. It is an action step. It's an affirmation of our oneness with the divine and an invitation to allow expansive divine energy to move through us, lift us, guide us to a joyful and abundant life. So remember, we live and move and have our being in an expanding universe that is constantly creating new possibilities of good. Are your mind and heart open and willing to catch the abundance that life awaits us in life just beyond the horizon? Are you willing to courageously take that risk to create your own path to abundance? So we're going to ponder those questions in a few moments as we move into meditation. But for now, let's just take this moment to affirm what makes all this possible. The great affirmation that is being said in Unity churches all over the world. And if you're new with us, this is printed in your bulletin. And let's say it together. Ready? There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.